to Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, be eternal glory. Amen. The word of the Lord, which forms a portion for our sermon text this morning, comes to us from Psalm 119, verses 161 to 176. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who have your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. This is the word of God. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from your Lord and Savior and Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Today is the second Sunday after Easter Sunday, and in our church calendar, this Sunday has become known Good Shepherd Sunday. This is the Sunday where we recognize that role that Jesus plays as our Good Shepherd. This, of course, is not an idea that we came up with. The idea of Jesus and God being our shepherd is one that gets repeated often in the Bible. Look at Psalm 23, which we said responsively earlier this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or look at the words that Jesus spoke in our gospel reading. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." But that word, that qualifier, good, really doesn't do the good shepherd justice. If something today receives that term, that something is described as good, it isn't regarded very highly. If something really is good, well, then surely we can describe it with much better words than just good. Good isn't the same level as great. It's not even close to amazing. Maybe it's just the evolution of our modern language, but something that's described as good simply doesn't cut it, or at least seem to cut it, in 2019. But despite our ramped-up language, good is still good. There's nothing wrong with being good. Think about it. What do people really want in this life? They want something that is good. They want a good person as a spouse, a good house, and a good home to raise their family in. They want to live in a good neighborhood and in a good country. If you have all these things, as many of us do, then truly your life can be described and should be described as good. Good is often more than good enough. And essentially, it's what people are looking for. In our sermon text today, this is really clear. This really spells out and fleshes out what makes our shepherd so good. What makes Jesus Christ so good? Well, it's the way that he shepherds his sheep. It's not in a demanding or demonstrative way. It might be the way the outsiders see it. But to fully understand and to appreciate what Jesus does for us, how he shepherds us, you need to experience that shepherding firsthand. This psalm, Psalm 119, describes our relationship to our God beautifully. It describes how we are guided by our good shepherd, first and foremost by his word. It also describes the gratitude that all sheep feel for this shepherd, because as Jesus said, he truly did lay down his life for us. And so we pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Our sermon text this morning is distinct and unique. The 119th Psalm is a very special psalm. It's the longest chapter in the whole Bible, in fact. Why is this chapter so long? Well, this psalm was written in the acrostic style. It follows and corresponds to the Hebrew alphabet. If you take the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and then you take it eight times, and that's the first letter that starts off the first eight verses of Psalm 119. Then you move on to the next eight, and all those words that start off each verse starts with the next letter, the bet, or the equivalent of B in our alphabet. This continues all throughout the psalm for 22 different letters of the Hebrew alphabet, each get eight verses. So 8 times 22, you have 176 verses to the psalm. And it is appropriate that such a unique and wonderful psalm really describes the greatness that is the Word of God. That is the whole overarching theme of these 176 verses, is how great this Word of God is. It starts off by saying, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And that message gets repeated multiple times in many different ways throughout this psalm. Probably the most well-known verse of this psalm is 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now again, in our psalm, or the verses of our sermon text, which consists of the last two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the same sentiment also gets repeated. The psalmist here says that his heart stands in awe of the Word. That finding the Word is like finding great treasure. That the love of the law is likened to the opposite of lying. Another thing to point out and recognize about this text, about these verses, is the different words used for the Word. If you go through this text, you'll see the word Word used five different times. But the Word of God is referred to many more times in these 16 verses. Just look at the different synonyms that the psalmist uses here. For the Word of God, he calls it your word, your law, your righteous judgments, your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, your precepts. Now, each word may have a specific flavor that the psalmist is wanting us to think about, but each word is referencing the whole Word of God. So when we see here that the psalmist used the word law or commandments, it's not just talking about the doctrine of the law, but rather the whole Word of God. How does the Good Shepherd guide and guard his sheep? Well, it's simple. The Good Shepherd shepherds by the book. That is the good book, the Bible. Let's stop for a moment from our everyday grazing and ponder exactly what are we grazing on. It's very easy to take the Bible for granted. It has always been there. God promises that no matter what happens to us in this life, His Word will never leave us. We Christians know our Bible well. Many parts of it are memorized for us. Perhaps you had memorized some of that psalm that we said responsively earlier today. We quote the Bible. We see the Bible quoted in the world. We see the Bible misquoted. But the Bible is just one of many religious tomes. What makes our Bible, our book, so good compared to the other religious books out there? Well, for the Christian, it really does all come down to the Bible. At least it should. When people who call themselves Christians start listening to other ideas that are outside of the Bible, well, that's when false teaching and error comes in. But for the real followers of Christ, the Bible is all that we have. It's not just a wise book with some very good advice and proverbs to live your life by. It certainly is that, but it is so much more than just that. This is not just good advice. This is the Word of life, breathed by the triune God and given to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. There is nothing else besides the Holy Word of God. And of course, saying the Bible is all we have is kind of a bad way of putting it. The Bible truly is all we have, and it's more than anything else we'll ever need. Whenever there's something that happens in this life, whenever something gets thrown our way, we can always find something in the Bible to talk about it. If something great happens to us, we can find a corresponding word of praise in the Bible too. That's appropriate. If there's a tragedy in our lives, something really bad happens, there's a message of sorrow, of comfort, to be found in the good book. The Bible contains prophecy, things spelled out hundreds of years before they actually happened on the earth. The Bible also contains history, examples of people who didn't follow what God said, and examples of people who did follow what God said. The Bible shows us our God, shows us his power, and shows us a way to life with him in heaven. And yet, of course, it is easy to take the Bible for granted. How easy it is for us to neglect our own Bible studies. We humans need to be reminded of things constantly, and once we think we know everything the Bible says, we forget those reminders that God has put in the Bible for our daily reminders. Our spiritual enemies will always try to attack the Word. If they can get us to doubt the authority of the Bible, well, then they can cut the legs of our faith itself. They say things like, "You're really going to put your trust in a book that was written hundreds of years ago?" Well, yeah. When it's the Word of God, you bet. When it comes to the good book, when it comes to God's Word, good is just the tip of the iceberg. Just look at how the psalmist describes the Word of God here. Verse 162, "I rejoice at your Word as one who finds great treasure." 172, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for your commandments are righteousness." 174, "I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight." But isn't it hard to relate to these words? It seems like this person not only loves God's word, but he also follows it. Psalm 119, verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Does that sound like you? Or 166, "I do your commandments." Does that sound like you? Or 173, "For I have chosen your precepts." Or 167, "And I love them exceedingly." Does that sound like you? We certainly love and try to live by God's holy word, but we also know how short we come in actually doing what it says. God's word tells us how to live, how to conduct our lives, and yet our sinful natures take us down other avenues. More often we relate to the sentiment that Paul wrote, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." But yet, these words of Psalm 119 are relatable to us. This person is clearly in need, and the person just simply needs help. Just like us, this person is expressing the need for their God. He needs God to hear his plea, just like we do. 169 and 170, "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word." That, of course, is why Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Yes, Jesus is good all by himself, apart from us completely. He was perfect. He lived a holy life. Again, good applies here, but it also pales in comparison to what Jesus' righteousness really was. Many men may be described as good men. To be a good man is something that all men would aspire to, surely. But there was one, only one, good man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we all can't rely or truly relate to being good, can we? But we can all relate to the last verse of this psalm. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." This psalmist here admits what we must admit as well. We have gone astray. We aren't good. That should sound like us. We too have gone astray like this psalmist, and we need someone to come and to seek and to save us. And that is the reason we call Jesus our Good Shepherd. He seeks us out. When we go astray, Jesus finds us and he restores us. When we sin, like we do all the time, every single day, we have a loving and a merciful Savior who is willing to forgive us and to bring us back into his fold. Much has been said in many a sermon about the nature of sheep. They are defenseless animals who can't really protect themselves. They are raised for their wool and sometimes for their meat. Without a shepherd, though, they are for the most part lost. Not only are they defenseless, but they are largely unintelligent creatures. No wonder we so often get compared to these. But really, if you think about it, sheep were created to be cared for. Most sheep don't shed their wool on their own, and they need help to have that wool trimmed off of them. They need a shepherd who is not only going to protect them and look out for them, they need a shepherd who's going to take care of their needs. And that is our relationship to our Jesus in a nutshell. If we were on our own, we would not last very long. We wouldn't stand a chance. Our many wanderings have left us exhausted and afraid. Our many trespasses weigh us down like pounds of fleece that we just can't shed. Then the Good Shepherd finds you. He shears away your tonnage of sin. In the arms of a loving Savior, we are free from that weight, and we will graze in the pasture of heaven forever with him. Now, being a sheep might not sound very appealing. For those such as ourselves who place so much weight on a book that was written hundreds of years ago, we may be called sheep derogatorily by others who see themselves as more enlightened than us sheep. And yes, being a sheep, it's not a very desirable comparison. Who would choose to be a sheep? Well, we would. Being a sheep isn't a great choice, of course, unless there is a shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and there is no better place to be in than in his sheepfold. Yes, we do go astray all the time, but that's what makes our shepherd so good. He finds us, he forgives us, and he restores us. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. In this case, good isn't just good enough. Good is what everyone needs, and dear Christians, is what we have in our Jesus. Amen. Please rise.